So we are in the middle of an occasional series about vineyard essentials, things that are really important to us in vineyard churches. It's interesting, if you go to the Vineyard UK website, the first characteristic of the vineyard movement that you see on the homepage, where it's telling everybody about us, is that we are churches who passionately worship. From the very start of the vineyard, it says, we've made worship our highest priority, believing it's God's desire that we become, firstly, worshippers of God. And you may have been here when I talked about the vineyard essential of worship a few weeks ago. If you missed it, then do watch it or listen to it again on the website. But then the second item that you see is one that might surprise you. In fact, it's one that you probably may struggle to guess. And it's this. We're churches who love planting churches. It says we love to plant, which is just another way of saying begin or start up. We love to plant new churches who in turn will also plant new churches. And in fact, this church began 20 years ago this year when a couple were commissioned by Riverside Vineyard in Twickenham to come here and plant Aylesbury Vineyard. And church planting in the vineyard is something that happens from within. It's kind of organic. There's nobody sent from head office, as it were, to plant a church. So we are churches who plant more churches. And we do it because we believe that God has called the Vineyard movement to be a church planting movement, because it's a really effective way of reaching people who don't know Jesus. So from a handful of churches in California in the early 1980s, there are now over 2,500 vineyards on five continents, including over 120 in the UK and Ireland. Now, the thing about something being a vineyard essential is that by definition, if it's an essential, you actually have to do it, right? So this surprise announcement that Jess mentioned and that we flagged in the weekly email is that very soon there's going to be another vineyard church in the UK. So rather than spend the next 20 minutes hearing me talk about the theory, you're going to be hearing from the couple who are going to be doing it in practice. They've just been given the formal go-ahead from Vineyard Churches, so I'm going to hand over the rest of the sermon this morning to them to share with you their vision for the kind of church that they'll be planting and a bit about their story. It's our very great honour and privilege to be their sending church. So would you please welcome to the stage with a really big warm welcome the future senior pastors of the new Gloucester Vineyard, Daniel and Emily Smith.
Yay! Cheers. Thank you. Cheers. We're excited to be up here again so soon talking to you. We're super excited to be finally able to talk to you properly about our journey towards church planting. It's been quite a long process. It's been about 2.5 years of praying, of seeking advice from our friends and family, seeking God's wisdom, and lots of waiting to be here. And we're overjoyed that God has called us to start a new church in Gloucester. Woo! And it's just great that we're now in a position to finally share some of our story and our journey up until now. So as Steve said, I'm Emily, and I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian household. My dad is an Anglican vicar, so I grew up in quite a traditional Church of England church, and I lived in a vicarage, not in a church, as lots of my school friends used to think. I didn't sleep under the pews. My parents brought me up knowing and loving Jesus, and they taught me how to pray and gave me a really good foundation for my faith, and I consider that a real blessing and a real privilege. When I was a teenager, I had one particular school friend who was also a Christian from quite a different type of church to the one I went to. And through her and through meeting and getting to know Daniel and through youth stuff like Soul Survivor, I gained a deeper understanding and a wider perspective on who God is, and encountered him in a more tangible and more personal way. So I guess I found myself naturally following and loving Jesus as an early teenager, which is wonderful. But it's probably in my late teens, early 20s, when you know the rubber hit the road and real life kicks in, or it did for me anyway, that I really started questioning my faith, started having to actually rely on God, put my faith into action. And it's when I really started trying to invest my life in becoming a bit more like Jesus.
Great. So I'm Daniel. Much like Emily, I grew up in a Christian home. My mum and dad are both Christians, and they sent me to a Christian independent free school, which was run by our church, which I like to describe as being like Hogwarts for Christians, which is great. There was a little bit less Wingardium Leviosa and a bit more praying for the sick. But yeah, that's all good. And it was, it was a really great upbringing. And like Emily, I met God in a really powerful and tangible way when I went to things like Soul Survivor and through my teenage years. And it was really through that kind of process that I started to, I made the decision that this was going to be my life going forward, rather than kind of the way I was brought up. This was really going to be true for me, that I was going to try and be one of Jesus' disciples. I met Emily when I was a tender age of 17, and Emily was 14, so babes in arms, really. Ask me the story later of how we met, because Emily behaved scandalously. She did. I went to Bible college in my early 20s, because, to be quite frank, I couldn't figure out what else to do with my life at that time, and it seemed like a good idea. But it was brilliant, and I gained a really kind of sound foundation of biblical knowledge and how to read and interpret the Bible. And we got married in 2010, and we have a beautiful daughter, Roslyn, and, as you can see, another one on the way. But when we got engaged, we decided that we wanted to choose a church together. As Emily said, we come from very different church backgrounds. Emily's church background was quite traditionally Anglican, and mine was quite bonkers and happy-clappy. So we wanted to find a church together that we would both find a home. So we were living in Southampton at the time, and we tried a few churches. And somewhat reluctantly, we went to try Southampton Vineyard Church. I say reluctantly because I'd heard all sorts of dodgy things about these Vineyard people, only some of which proved to be true. But in all seriousness, when we arrived at Southampton Vineyard, from day one, we just found this really tight-knit family, a group of people who really loved Jesus, who were totally free of judgment. They didn't judge people when they walked in through the door. They put their money where their mouth was when it came to things like showing compassion and loving the poor. They knew the Bible back to front. They were particularly invested in the teachings of Jesus. And one thing that really, really got to me was that they knew the teachings of Jesus, and they tried to apply the teachings of Jesus as well, which for me was something that I'd never seen before. I'd been in churches all my life, and we'd talked about what Jesus said, and we'd theorized about it, but I'd never actually been part of a group of people that tried to put Jesus' teachings into action every day. So we were hooked. We had to join them, so we did. And we started a home group with them, which got massive, mainly because it's a student town and we offered food every week. So there's a winning formula for you all right there. We grew in our leadership giftings there, and they taught us. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful church to be part of. We were there for about 3 years before we felt it was time for us to move on. And God brought us here to Aylesbury. Now, when we came, we weren't just going to go straight to the local Vineyard church and join it, because I was still a little bit skeptical and thought that the Vineyard was a bit dodgy. But we came on our first Sunday, and honestly, we were amazed, because we found all of the same things that we loved about Southampton Vineyard were still present in Aylesbury Vineyard. It just looked a bit different. And we kind of started to use this language of values, that there's Vineyard values, things that are true of every single Vineyard church. So on our first Sunday, we were shown around Storehouse, which, in case you don't know, is just behind the auditorium here, where we give out furniture and clothes and food to those in need in Aylesbury. And we thought, wow, these guys love the poor as well. We found the same non-judgmental attitude that we found in Southampton, with this amazing group of people that anybody can belong to. You don't even have to be a Christian to belong to this church. It just blew my mind. It's the same heart of generosity in everything that we do, the same drive to give our best to God and show the world that God is not stingy and he doesn't do things by half. we found this brilliant emphasis on Jesus and his teachings and his mission to establish the kingdom of God in Aylesbury. And the best bit is that we get to play along with it. And also the call to be naturally supernatural, the call to expect to see God moving supernaturally in our everyday lives, but also the theology that goes behind that, that underpins that, that it's not messy and out of control and chaotic, that God is not a God of chaos, he's a God of order. And actually when we're bringing the supernatural, we're bringing order to chaos. Just wonderful, wonderful stuff. So we were hooked and we started leading more and more stuff and just found a family here. You know, you guys are wonderful and we love you. I'm going to get all emotional in a minute. So we got more invested in the Vineyard movement as well. And we went to the National Leaders Conference and again, we're just struck by being in a room of thousands of people from over 100 Vineyard churches, all of whom hold the same values at their core. And we knew that this was us. We're part of the family, that we are Vineyard people, whether we like it or not. It's part of who we are now, which is a rather scary thought.
So we've been here in Aylesbury for just under 4 years. So we joined at about the same time as Stephen Lynn took over from Mick and Lynn. So it was neat, wasn't it? Anyway, Stephen Lynn, after about a year and a half of us being here, invited us to take part in Hub training, which is essentially Vineyard leadership training. And we just found ourselves really enjoying it. We'd come back from a session, they do monthly sessions on a different aspect of leadership. And we'd come back from a session on a specific aspect, and we'd just find ourselves like totally nerding out at home, just like chatting for ages and like the nitty gritty of Jesus and the Bible and church and what that looks like. And just found ourselves getting rather nerdy basically about it at home and just really enjoying the kind of church leadership training that we were going in. And it was through this training that the idea of planting a church, of us particularly planting a church, kind of came up in our minds. You know, I can't say that there was a specific moment that we can put our finger on and say, that is when we knew God was calling us to plant a church. But the more we talked about it, the more we prayed about it, the more we spoke to others about it, the more obvious it became that it's what God is calling us to do. So throughout our lives, independently, we've had various prophetic words, so words from God, spoken over us about leadership and about church leadership in particular. And more recently, we've had a few more confirmations that church planting is what God has in store for our life. And it's just really given us this real sense of excitement and expectation, and it's added to our sense of purpose and longing to do what God wants of us. And add to that all of our conversations and our ideas and our excitement and our nerding out. I'd say that we've now weirdly kind of, we'd say we feel almost pregnant with a church. I'm not getting confused. We are feeling almost pregnant with a church that we just need to see the life of now, and we're really excited to go on that adventure with God. So once we felt the call to church planting was confirmed, the next obvious question in our mind was, to where? So we started praying again and asking God for his wisdom and for his clarity in this decision. Where are we going to go? We're excited. Now, Daniel and I have never heard the audible voice of God being like, you should do this. We've never had that in our life, in all our decision making and all of our times of being like, really, it would be really helpful to have an audible voice right now. And so after months of trying to hear a name of a city or a town or get some prophetic word from someone, this was no exception. You know, we didn't hear the audible voice of God, but we just got this sense, and one that we've had before when we've been making kind of life decisions, that God was giving us the choice. That we feel called to plant a Vineyard church, and that God was saying, okay, go and find somewhere that doesn't have one then. And we're like, amazing. The opportunity to just choose where we go. Okay. Which is awesome. And what a privilege that God kind of includes us in that decision making. But also really unhelpful. Like, it would have been really helpful for God to be like, here you go. I'll give you a hand with that. But anyway, we knew we wanted to stay in the UK, despite daydreaming about the south of France or the Italian lakes or something. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But we knew we wanted to stay in the UK. And so we thought, right, let's get a map of Vineyard churches up from around the UK, which hopefully... So this is... Oh, it's cut off Scotland, but it's England and Wales. And this is where all these pinpoints are, the Vineyard churches around the UK. And so we were looking, and we know that no one really wants to go to Wales. There's not much going on there. Oh, no, sorry. Sorry, all you Welsh. I'm joking. But there was a gap that just kept standing out to us every time we looked, and it was in the West Country, basically. Oh, there you go. Got a star on it. Excellent. So there's Worcester... there's Worcester Vineyard, there's Oxford Vineyard, Bristol, Cardiff, but there's just this hole in Gloucestershire that we were like, huh, why is no one going to Gloucestershire? And so my parents live in the Midlands, Daniel's parents live in the Forest of Dean, so it seemed like quite a good place to start, at least investigating and kind of pushing some doors and seeing if it's where God wanted us. And so we visited Cheltenham, we visited Gloucester, we spoke to friends from in and around Gloucestershire, and the more we thought about it, the more we prayed about it, the more we learnt about the area, the more we visited the area, just the more solidified it became in our hearts that Gloucester is where God wants us and where he wants us to plant a Vineyard church.
Great. So we are going to plant Gloucester Vineyard in the first quarter of 2018. We are going to be looking to move to Gloucester in the next 6 months. We're going to settle our family in, and then we're going to get cracking soon after Christmas. So you may be wondering, what is Gloucester Vineyard going to look like? Well, we believe that as Gloucester Vineyard, we're called to play our part in bringing hope and joy to the city of Gloucester by loving God, introducing people to Jesus, and showing them what he's like. We basically want to take the values that we found in Southampton, the values that we've found here in Aylesbury and across the Vineyard movement, and take them to Gloucester to plant a new church. So all of those values that I discussed earlier, anybody can belong to Gloucester Vineyard. You can come and join in wherever you're at. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in the right. You don't have to behave in the right way. Everyone is welcome to come and join us. We want to plant a church that knows what it means to be worshippers of God, who do the hard work of learning how to give their best to Jesus and handing over our lives to him one piece at a time. We want to be deeply rooted in the Bible, and particularly in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We want to be a people who are invested deeply in the Word of God, who let it inform everything that we do inside the church building and outside the church building. We want to be a church who love and serve the poor in our city. You know, we know we're not going with all the answers, and certainly we're not going with all the resources, but we do want to find the poor and partner with Jesus in learning how to love them and how to support them. You know, we're going there with humility. We're going to go and wash the feet of the city. We want to be a church who expect to see God moving miraculously in our neighbourhoods and in our workplaces. You know, we want to be a church where offering to pray for healing is as simple as offering a cup of tea. Overall, we want to take the words of Jesus in Luke 15, verse 7 seriously. Jesus tells this short story about a shepherd who's looking after 100 sheep, and one of them goes missing. So he leaves the 99 safe in their pen and goes out and looks for the one that's missing. And it says that when he finds the one and brings it home, him and his friends have a huge party, and there's rejoicing. And then Jesus says, in the same way, there is more joy, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. And I don't know, this may be a bit of a bold claim, but as Gloucester Vineyard Church, we want to be a church that causes rejoicing in heaven. You know, we want to be a church that makes heaven throw a party. So we want to partner with Jesus in going after and finding the lost in Gloucester. But also, Jesus gave the church one job to do before he went back up to heaven. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. So really, in a nutshell, that's what we want Gloucester Vineyard to do. We're going to go and partner with Jesus to bring his kingdom, to find the lost, and to teach them how to obey him and be his disciples.
Amen. Mm. So Daniel's very eloquently laid out what we want to try and do as Gloucester Vineyard Church. And it sounds wonderful and lovely and like a great vision that I want to get behind because we are already behind it. But vision without action is useless. You know, it's just a dream. So what is that practically going to look like? You know, how are we going to create this church? Where are we going to gather our first few people? What's it going to look like in 6 weeks, 6 months, a year? And that is an excellent question. One that we are figuring out and will be figuring out for the next 70 years of our life. But seriously, we're really aware of how flawed we are, how ill-equipped we are. And we've spent a lot of time in prayer saying, God, like, really? Us? Do you want to use us? Because we've got loads of flaws and we can't do this and we can't do that. And we just really feel like God was saying, just go with what you have and do what you know how to do. And we kind of went, okay, we could do that. That sounds good. Like, we can go and we can go with what we have and we can do what we know how to do. And just felt like he was just saying, look, just go and say yes. So that's what we're going to do. So for the first 6 months to a year, we're going to go and we're going to say, God, what do you want us to do? And we're going to say yes. And we're going to be opening our home in hospitality, inviting people over, getting to know our neighbours, joining clubs, probably starting a few clubs as well, making new friends, making shared loads of food, sharing our lives with people and just getting involved in other people's lives as well. We just really want to build a sense of community in our area and, you know, maybe put on some community events and that sort of thing here and there too. We're also going to use this time and to be growing in our relationship with God. We just want to be continuously shaped and moulded by God and by Jesus and his teachings. And we'd love it to be just a natural overflow of our life that people can't help but notice and can't help but ask. That we can be open about sharing our story of how God has impacted our lives. And of course, take every opportunity that we have to pray for people and to see Jesus moving in their lives and the Holy Spirit in miraculous ways. When we've got a core few people, we're going to start doing some small groups where we can grow together towards Jesus. And we're hopeful that over time, these will grow and multiply and we can do larger gatherings. And finally, last but not least, we're going to start doing what we can to bless the community and look out for the poor and where there are needs in our community. So we're not going to wait until we're a certain size or have a certain amount of money before we start demonstrating God's love and his compassion in practical ways because we want it to be part of who we are. We want it to, you know, it's a really important value for us, so we intend to do that from day one. Now, we're not sure of what that exactly looks like, but we're really keen to talk to the local council, to the police, to the community, anyone who will speak back to us to find out about where the needs of the city are, how we can best try and meet them, and how we can love Gloucester as best we can.
Wonderful. So we are so excited to go, and we're absolutely chuffed to be sent by this church. So we would like to ask for your blessing to go. We would like to ask for your prayers before we go. We've just got three ways that you can pray for us if you're up for it. The first way is we'd really appreciate it if you would pray for our family in the short term. So we've got, over the next 6 months, I need to find a new job. We need to sell our house. We're going to try and buy a new house in Gloucester. This needs to happen. So Emily is going to give birth. So we're going to have two children. And as some of you may know, you're not supposed to move house, get a new job, have a new child, and move those children within 6 months. You're meant to spread that out a little bit. We're not doing that. We are going with the rip-off-the-plaster approach. Get it all out of the way quickly and as painlessly as possible. But we're very aware that it could be a difficult time for our family, especially for our daughter, Rosalind. So if you would stand with us in prayer over the next 6 months and just pray that all of the logistics, all of the things that need to fall into place would fall into place quickly, and that there would just be real God cohesion here, that God would really make this thing flow. We would really, really appreciate your prayers in that. We're also looking to recruit people to pray for us long term as well. We would love to go to Gloucester knowing that there is a small group of people back in Aylesbury who are praying for us, specifically one person praying for us every single day. So the way we've gone about this is we've got these little cards here, and each one of them has a day of the month on it. Now, if you are a person who has a regular prayer time and feels like they can commit to praying on the 17th of any month, of every month, sorry, for our family, for Gloucester Vineyard Church, to just give it 10 minutes and just pray for God to establish the church, and also listen to see if God has anything prophetic that he might want to say to us as a church, we would love for you to take one of these, and we would be so grateful if you would commit to pray for us on just one day every single month, and get in touch if you think God said anything. Now, please don't take one of these unless you feel like you can commit to praying for it, because this is really, really important to us. But if you do want to partner with us in this way, we would be super grateful. And finally, you might want to pray and see if God wants you to come with us to Gloucester. You'd have to be mad. We're not going to try and convince anybody to come with us. We've told you why we're going, and we've told you what we want the church to look like. And it may just be that one or two of you have been having the crazy thought that this sounds like something that you might want to get behind, something that you might want to be part of and help work towards. Well, the only thing we can promise you, if that is the case, is that it won't be easy. In fact, the only thing we can really promise you is that it's going to be rather hard work. But if you, like us, feel like you're called to give your lives so that others can come to know Jesus, then pray about it, come and find us, and we will try our hardest to persuade you not to come. And if you still want to come after that, then we can go on an adventure together. But that's really all from us. We're going to Gloucester next year. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayer and your support. We really, really love this church. Steve.